This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل في سورة هود على لسان قوم شعيب إذ قالوا يا شعيب أصلاتك تأمرك أن نترك ما يعبد آباؤنا أو أن نفعل في أموالنا ما نشاء إنك لأنت الحليم الرشيد قال يا قوم أرأيتم إن كنت على بينة من ربي ورزقني منه رزقا حسنا وما أريد أن أخالفكم إلى ما أنهاكم عنه إن أريد إلا الإصلاح ما استطعت وما توفيقي إلا بالله عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب. Yesterday was the 76th anniversary of the Nakba. 76 long years have passed since the Palestinian people were forcefully removed from their lands, since they underwent one of the worst genocidal attempts within modern history. Continuing all throughout these last 76 years, only for today to be so similar to yesterday, as they try yet again to erase this group of people from their land, the land of their forefathers that they were living on for at least a couple of millennia. And as Muslims today, we are forced to think long and hard about this topic. If you remember how things worked over the last maybe couple of decades, and most of us haven't been living for hundreds of years to be able to come to these conclusions, but over the course of your life, the way that this topic has presented itself is that once a part of Palestine is bombed, their shields get on the minbar, and their faces get red, and their voices get loud, and they yell at you for a while, and they get very upset about this issue, and people in certain parts of the world will protest and walk, maybe break and destroy a few embassies, maybe break a few lights, maybe carry a few banners, and it goes on for a couple of weeks until the bombing stops, and then after that we go back to life as normal, to business as usual. We go back to work at the companies that support this type of behavior, to live in the countries that support this type of behavior, and we continue to befriend people who support this type of behavior. And we completely forget about it until they bomb it. And then we do the same. And it keeps on happening. And we become very predictable. For those who don't agree with our narrative, we become too predictable. Don't worry about it. You can bomb. Do what you need. That's fine. It won't go anything beyond a few khutbahs and maybe a couple of protests. Yes, it may spread a little bit farther in parts of the world, but don't worry. It's short-lived. Don't forget about it because they're too comfortable in their lives. They have too many things going on. They have children in schools, and they have to pay for all these public schools, for all these private schools, and for their expensive vacations. And they just don't have time to actually spend talking about this topic. So you just have to outlast them. Just chronically outlast them for a couple of weeks, and things will, don't worry about it. It'll just be an uprise for a very short period of time. And they're right. I have to give it to them. They figured us out. Now we'll just do it for a very short period of time, and they'll forget about it. The only reason this is going on this long is that they've been bombing for 8 months and they haven't stopped. It's just been the longest time that they've spent in bombardments of civilian populated areas. That's all. Had they stopped sometime in November, I would be talking about something different. And all the flags and the kufiyas and all the other stuff would be long way behind us. And it wouldn't matter anymore. It's just because they've been doing it for 8 months that it still matters. And I'm saying this, and I'm not sarcastic about it. This is actually what's happening. But I'm not proud about it either. I'm not proud about it at all. And I think that's the problem. The problem is that we are failing to recognize the causes that require our full attention, or at least the full attention of a group amongst us that we have empowered to make sure they continue to push and they have our support socially, financially, academically, interpersonally. They have our support. We don't have any of that. So it just goes back to how it was before. And I'm saying this because I hope that maybe by continuously poking at this topic, we decide to treat it differently. Because at the end, at some point, this will stop. It's impossible. Nothing goes forever. Nothing goes forever for this to go forever. It will stop. And the question is, after it does, then what? Then what happens? Is there a plan being put together? Do we have within our community people who are putting together plans for how we're going to address this issue? Or are we going to see, just have the same 77th and 78th anniversary, 79th and 80th? This is not the longest time that the Holy Land has been occupied by foreigners during the Islamic era. Since Islam, this is not the longest time. It went over 100 and somewhat years before. So this is not the longest time. So there's no reason for you to lose hope or anything. There's no reason for you to look at this topic and say, this will never be fixed. No, it'll be fixed. It's been fixed before. It went longer and it was still fixed. The problem is with the nature of the people. The issue is who is going to actually fix it. What, if you think about it, what type of generation is needed to fix this problem? What type of generation of human beings is going to be required for this issue to find closure, for it to be concluded, for us to actually figure out a way to push back and to make some advancements and to make progress on it? What type of generation do you think is going to do this? Do you think that the generation of people who are going to make a difference, who are going to make a difference in this topic or in this realm or in this front as Muslims, it's not just the Philistine, there's a lot of other fronts as Muslims that we have to talk about. There's a lot of other problems, a lot of injustice
injustices that continue, that occurred upon Muslims or are continuing to occur, for us to make a difference, what characteristics are needed within that generation? That generation has to prioritize righteousness, ya ikhwati. Brothers and sisters, the generation that's going to make a difference, the generation that sees haqq and adl and zulm, they look at the concept of righteousness and justice and oppression, anti-oppression, as priorities that they will live for. That nothing trumps them. That they're willing to lose whatever it is they have to lose to continue to speak out for and against these issues. That is the type of generation. This cannot be some part-time gig that you pick up, some secondary topic that you're going to show interest in. The world doesn't change that way. Yahi, the world never changed that way. I'm surprised sometimes on how little we know just general history. Not even Islamic history. Forget about Islamic history. Yeah, go look at history in general. Show me a group of people that were able to rid themselves from oppression, transgression, colonialism. Show me a group of people that were able to change their status as they were living through poverty and through corruption. And they did it with a group of people who only took interest in this issue on a part-time level. Or they saw it as a secondary interest for them. Show me. Every time historically, a group of people who have changed their destiny and actually changed the narrative of the world on a specific topic are a group of people who gave their everything for it. Gave absolutely everything they had and did not wait for anyone to compliment them or reward them or to offer them any compensation for it. Because I'm telling you, if you give your life up for a just cause or for righteousness, you will lose almost everything and no one will stand by you. I'm telling you this now so you understand. No one will stand by you and no one will thank you for it aside from the Almighty Divine Himself. No one will. And you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with that. And if you're not, then we wait. Then we wait. That's what we do, we wait. And that's what happened to Musa alayhi salam. Musa was ready. Musa was ready to reclaim what needed to be reclaimed. But he said, Rabbi inni la amliku illa nafsi wa akhi. ففرق بيننا وبين القوم الفاسقين قال فإنها محرمة عليهم 40 years يتيهون في الأرض. When Musa said, I don't have people who are committed, it's just me and Harun, no one else cares about this, I can't get their interests. So Allah answered, and they are prohibited, they are not allowed there. It's a privilege to stand for righteousness, and they are now deprived of that privilege for a full generation. Go walk the desert aimlessly until they all die, and come back later with a different generation. So they did. And Harun and Musa both died within the 40 years of aimless walking. And it was the next generation that made the difference, and Yusha ibn Nun took them and they entered the Holy Land and they reclaimed that which was theirs. So it's just a question. Are we there yet? No? Fine. I'll come back and talk to you about Sunan al-Wudu and the importance of using the miswak. No problem. It's easy. I'll gain a lot of popularity that way. If you're not ready, we can just talk about something different. Tell me, what is it that you want me to talk about? Give me, send me requests. What do you want me to talk? What are you interested in? Maybe you have some marital problems. Tell me what they are so I can share them to the community so that you can have a nicer, a quieter life. What else? What else? Are you bothered by something else? Is parking bothering you? Is the lack of, what's bothering you? Or is some service that you're not getting properly in the community? Tell me about so I can share that. Because it doesn't matter, really. If we're not willing to stand out for righteousness, if haqq and adl, if these concepts do not trump everything else, if we see oppression and we are not willing to speak out against it, then what's the point? Wallahi, what's the point? This is a waste of everyone's time. There's no meat to this. And there's really no end game, and there's no point. And I'm sorry to put it that way, but this is the reality of the matter. If you want to see change, then change has to be the number one thing on your list, and you're willing to live and sometimes die for it. You are not required to die for it. Others are. Others decided that they're not going to leave. They're not leaving. They're not going to be bullied. They're not going to be frightened out, so they paid with their blood. You don't have to do that. You just have to live for it. You just have to actually, which is sometimes more painful, I can tell you that. Sometimes it can be. It is not, in my opinion, but sometimes it can be. When you live for something, where you see this is, everything I do in my life is directed towards achieving this goal. Everything that I'm bringing forward in my life, all the work that I'm doing academically, all the work that I'm doing socially and financially, the goal is I strengthen this cause, that our voice within that cause is louder, that we have more influence, that we advocate more powerfully, that our community comes up with better plans. That's why I'm living my life. And if that's not why you're living your life, then ask yourself, why are you living your life?
You see, you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to come and ask you, what do you think he's going to ask you about? Here's the point that I don't think everyone understands. And that's why last week, the maxim that I shared with you, I'm going to share it with you again, just because I want to make sure it's clear. Islam is about reform. Without reform, Islam is not Islam. It's something else. It's some mutant theology that I don't understand and I don't want to have anything to do with at all. Islam has reform in it. Reform requires a seeing where the problem is. For me to come to a group of people who have a specific deficit and for me not to talk about it from an Islamic perspective and talk about something else, that is a betrayal. And that's a problem on the Day of Judgment. That's why in the verses that you heard, what they came and asked Shu'aib are the two questions. Ya Shu'aib, asalatuka ta'mur, meaning does your prayer, does your system, they said salatuk, meaning your deen, what you're bringing to us. Does it command you, ata'muruka, an natruka ma ya'budu aba'una, aw an naf'ala fi amwalina ma nasha? Does it come and tell you that we have to change whom we worship? Because every prophet came and performed reform regarding shirk and tawheed. This is the first one. Every prophet came and said, U'abudu Allah ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. There's one God, stop worshipping idols. You need to stop that. Every prophet did the same thing. So they asked that question. And then the second question was, أَوْ أَنَّ فَعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءَ. Or we do what we want in our wealth. Because that was their problem. You see, Shu'aib could have said, okay, let's not talk about wealth. Let's talk about humbleness. Let's talk about being kind. Let's talk about Nizam, standing in line and standing in line. And everyone would have loved it. They would have loved it, Shu'aib. And Shu'aib would have become popular. And he would have made a lot of money. And he would become just don't talk about the wealth piece. The only thing he's talking about is the wealth piece. That's all he's going to talk about. You cheat with your finances, and that's all I'm talking about. But we have so many other good things. I don't care about your good things. Keep them, don't keep them, that's up to you. There's a problem here, and it needs to be fixed. And I'm going to continue to talk about it until we fix it. And they didn't fix it. And they didn't. And every prophet did that. He came to his people, and he looked, and he assessed, and said, oh, here's a deficit. Here's what needs to change. Here's what needs to change. Yes, you have great things. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he blessed you with other nice things going on. Good for you. This has to change. This problem here needs to change. Lut came and he didn't talk about anything. He didn't talk about ibadah. He didn't aqim jumu'ah for them. He wasn't interested in their khushu'ah. He was talking about the one problem they had. He came and pointed out, this behavior has to stop. Same thing for Hud. He came and told them the same thing. You need to be humble. Why? You were just mocking that a second ago, Sheikh. Yeah, but that was their problem. The people of Hud, Ad, their problem is that they were extremely racist. They were racist and they didn't see people to be equal, so their prophet came and told them that has to change. He didn't talk to them about finances. Why? Because that wasn't their problem. So what do you think you're going to be asked about Yawm al-Qiyamah? Tell me. What do you think you're going to be asked about? What do you think this generation is going to be asked about? Yeah. It's pretty obvious what we're going to be asked about. It's the mawalim. It's the acts of adjustment, of injustice. It's the occurrences of injustice within our lives that we witnessed and that we did very little about. And you're going to come and say, but hold on. But I did this and I did that. I'm like, yeah, sure. What did you do about this though? Well, I was... Yeah, good for you. What about this? I know, but I... What did you do about this problem? Well, and then you stand there. And then it turns out that that's the problem that you're going to be assessed by. And you should have known that in your life because that was the deficit. That was the problem that required the reform. It's the interest in this that needed reform. And we didn't do it. And we didn't do it. And so that's what we're going to be assessed by. The people of Shu'aib were not assessed by their ethics. They were assessed by their finances. And when they didn't fix their cheating and finances, they were destroyed. And every qawm had the exact same issue. There's one little problem that needs to be fixed. If you didn't fix it, then all the other merits of your community meant nothing. Those merits are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings upon you anyways. You don't have any reason to brag about them. They're Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave you, Jalla Jalaluhu. He wants you to fix the problem. And that goes even into your own personal life. When you sit down and talk about myself, oh, I'm good at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I know what you're good at. What are you not doing right? Okay, there's your story. There's your story. What is it that you're not doing well? What is it that you know you should be doing but you're not, or doing but you shouldn't? There's your story. That's you. And that's what you're going to be asked about. And you're going to come and try and play a different game and present a different, you're going to come with your presentation and your PowerPoint. Ya Rab, here's what I did. Take me to the point that I guess. Take me, yes, that's what I want. What do you do there? And that's your weakest spot. But that's what he's interested in. Because the rest of them, you were given an advantage anyways. This is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Just be grateful and you're fine. It's the deficits. It's the problems. It's the struggles. It's the challenges. It's where reform was required. It's where Islam needed to come in and wash things up. Clean it all out and change the status of it. And that is where we are failing. We're focused on other stuff, and we're not focused on this. We're not taking, only when it's happening, we feel ashamed, so we do. But then it stops, and I guarantee you, unless something changes in this society, which I pray to Almighty Allah that it does, then we will just go back to talking about this on occasions. On occasions. The thing is, it's the 76th anniversary. It's been going for 76 years. Maqul, in 76 years, we have not been able to figure out anything as communities in the West or communities in the East or some form of advocacy that has an edge to it, that has teeth, that can actually make a difference, that we can get behind. Maqul, we haven't been able to do this. I don't think it's a lack of wealth. I don't think it's a lack of numbers. I think it's just a lack of willpower. It's a lack of willpower and commitment and understanding of what we're going to be assessed based on the Day of Judgment. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهد إخواني وأخواتي الإسلام بدون إصلاح لا أدري بالضبط ما يكون لو أزلت الإصلاح من رسالة الإسلام فإني لا أدري ما الذي يتبقى من الإسلام وأقول هذا بصدق لا أستطيع تعريف هذا الشيء الذي يبقى إذا ما أزلنا من الإسلام مع الإصلاح فليس من نبي بعث إلى قومه إلا بعث ليصلح فيهم إلا بعث ليغير من حالهم في المجال الذي أفسدوا فيه في المجال الذي تسببوا فيه بالفساد جاء هذا النبي ليغير وكان القوم يقولون اترك هذه المسألة فقط اترك هذه المسألة ونتبعك لكن دع هذه المسألة جانبا يا شعيب صلاتك تأمرك أن نترك ما يعبد أباؤنا وأن نفعل في أموالنا قل لا وأنت المعلم وأنت القائد وأنت الرئيس بس ما تغير موضوع الأصنام وما تعمل لي في الربا وما ربا خلاص اسكت عن هذه الأمور وكلمنا في قضايا أخرى كلمنا في قضايا الزواج وكلمنا في قضايا يعني الأخلاق الحسنة وما إلى هنالك لا بأس عليك لكن ما تكلمنا في قضية المال وما أتى شعيب إلا ليكلمهم في الشرك وفي المال فقط وما جاء ليكلمهم في شيء أساسا إلا في هاتين الباقي هذه الله سبحانه وتعالى من عليكم بالصلاح فيها وهذه منة منه عليكم لا ليس هناك يعني نقاط إضافية ما تأخذ يعني حسنات إضافية على وجودها ما دام هناك إشكال ما دام هناك فساد في الأرض في مجال معين وجب على هذه الأمة وعلى هذا القوم أن يصلحوا ذلك الفساد فإن يسألكم يا إخواني هذه الأمة ما الفساد الواقع فيها ما الذي سنسأل عنه يوم القيامة سنسأل عن إيش؟ أمور كثيرة لكن ما هو الواضح؟ ما هي المظلمة الواضحة التي هي أمامنا كل يوم أكثر من 70 سنة هذه المظلمة في وجوهنا تظنون سنسأل عن غيرها تظن ستسأل عن غيرها يوم القيامة بل عنها ستسأل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام نفس الأمر أرادوا أن يساوموه يساومون النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يا رسول يا محمد يعني ما جلسنا مع الضعفاء يعني ما أصنامنا دعها ما تسفأ يعني يبحثون عن طريقة للتفاوض معه حتى ما يغير كثير من حياتهم لا أبدا مع شدة ضعفه مع قلة أتباعه مع قلة ماله مع قلة جاهه عليه صلوات ربي وسلامه يجلس هكذا كالجبل يقول له لا أغير ولا أداهن في الإسلام حرفا واحدا ولا حرف تأخذ الإسلام كما هو تغير من واقعك وإلا الإسلام لا يحتاج إليك انصرف عنه ما نساوم في ديننا حبة وهذا كلام لكفار قريش وهو لمسلمي قريش أيضا وهذا كلام للمسلمين أيضا أن ينظروا في حيوهتهم وفي قصصهم أين الفساد في حياتنا هذا الذي ستسأل عنه القضايا الأخرى يتمنى الله سبحانه وتعالى فيها عليك بالصلاح وبالنعمة وبالاستقامة هذه أمور اشكر الله عليها قبل أن يحرمك إياها لكن ابحث في الفساد وأصلح
ودون إصلاح ولا تركنوا في سورة آخر سورة ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار. He says سبحانه وتعالى at the end of سورة هود ولا تركنوا. Don't get comfortable. That's what ركون means. ركون is when you get kind of chummy and comfortable and kind of sit back. You know, you don't feel weird anymore. Don't get comfortable to the oppressors. Don't become comfortable with the oppressors, because then Jahannam will bite you. Then Jahannam will take a piece of you. And then you'll find no one to stand by you. وَمَا لَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ. No one will stand by you on the day of judgment. ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. And you will stand alone and you will lack support on the day of judgment. Be careful. Do not get comfortable with that which you know is oppressive. With those whom you know are oppressing. No, no. You stand strong. And you stand tall. And you stand clearly to oppose that which is wrong and to stand by that which is correct. Because that's what we're going to be assessed by Yawm al-Qiyamah. I had a second maxim I wanted to share with you. I'm not going to share it with you. I'm going to stick with this. This has to be clear. This has to be clear that Islam without this concept of Islah doesn't go anywhere. And if you don't believe that, then you just have to study the Quran through the lens of the stories of the prophets. And see how the prophets, alayhim as-salatu wa-salam ajma'in, came to their people with one problem. And they fought them on one issue. Salih came to the people of Thamud to tell them, you are wasteful and you are indifferent. You have ghafla and you are musrifeen. This has to change. And they tell him, Ya Salihu, قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. Before all of this change and this wasteful, before all this stuff that you're bringing us, we used to like you. We had hopes for you. You were well-spoken. People liked you. Why are you bringing all of this? Why are you challenging these things? He didn't challenge other aspects. Hud came to the people of Ad and told them, you have to stop oppressing others and you have to stop being racist. And they did the same thing in every story. Nuh alayhi salam, no nepotism. There will be no nepotism here. I will not remove the... You see, the people of Nuh, after 950 years of him doing this, they finally caved. And they said, fine, we'll accept your faith. But, أَنُؤْمِنُ لَكَ وَاتَّبَعَكَ الْأَرْذَلُونَ. Are we seeing the people who are with you? Are they just the low lives? You have to remove them. Like, we'll sue with you, but can you get them out? Can you at least have two sessions? Have two khutbas, ya akhi. Khutbas for the poor and a khutbah for the rich, for the noble and for the low life. No, absolutely not. That's the one thing he wasn't going to do. He would do anything else. إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. ثم إني دعوتهم جهارا ثم إني أعلمت لهم وأسر. I did everything. I spoke to them in every way. I compromised my integrity for them, Ya Rabb. I gave them my life. I gave them every moment of my waking day. No problem. But not that. No, I can't compromise the equality piece because that's your problem. Because that's your ethical deficit, and that's what has to change. Don't ask me to compromise the thing that I'm here to actually fix for you. And as Muslims, that's the assessment that we need. We have to assess where are our problems, and that's what we have to fix. And one of the problems that we have as a nation is the fact that we are living at a time where injustices continue to occur, and we are not taking steps to fix them, and we are not clear in our opposition to transgression, oppression, and dhulm. We're just not clearly against it. We're just not standing clearly against dhulm. We allow things to slide. Too many things are sliding. Too many. And now we're in a position where we're normalizing. We're actually breaking the words of the Quran. The Quran is saying, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُونَ. That's exactly what we're doing. And there's no way to misinterpret this stuff. But because we just didn't do our job appropriately. And that's what I want to share with you. Is that remember, without reform, I don't know what Islam is. You may like Islam, actually dictators, and they love Islam without reform. They just want to pick that piece out. Just remove any aspect of reform and enjoy, have your masjid, build a big one. Make it sure the roof is higher, the sound system is better, fill the place, do your dua, just no reform, please. Just don't speak out against what shouldn't be happening. Don't speak out against dictatorship or corruption or, you know, don't do that. Anything else, you're welcome, speak whatever you want. I remember, I used to live in Syria, I remember. Talk about everything you want, just not the glaring act of aspect of oppression and ruin that was occurring. Just don't speak about anything else you want, just not that. But how well do you think that worked out for us? Will we learn? It doesn't work.
Islam doesn't function that way, and people don't survive that way. We have to speak out against what's wrong, even if that costs you your job, or costs you your reputation, or your wealth, or whatever is going to cost us, it has to cost us. And if we're not willing to pay for that, then 40 sanatan tihu fil ard. Then continue to walk aimlessly for 40 years, maybe the next generation does it. And hopefully there's someone left to stand here and say the same thing, and maybe provoke a little bit of commitment and dedication and genuineness amongst those who are listening, to get a generation that's willing to do it. It just takes time. One generation will do it. Why not this one? Why not this one? Why not have it at least start now, so then we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We sparked it. We didn't live long enough to see it, but we sparked it. Like, we pushed the wheel forward a little bit. We didn't get it very far, but we started the push. At least meet God with that. Because if we don't meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that, then I don't know what exactly I'm going to say to Him yawm al-qiyamah. What am I going to explain to Him? What exactly is my life worth? What did I do? If I didn't do this, then I don't know there's anything worth doing to begin with. And that doesn't mean that we drop our educational piece within our community, or the mentorship piece, or the outreach, or the organizing of our institutions. No, but we do it with a clear goal of achieving that. That's the only difference, is that you connect what you do internally on a personal level and on a communal level to goals that are clearly defined that we cannot afford to ignore. And that will cost us a little bit, or maybe even a lot of it, but we still have to do it. Because that's what the prophets before us did. I hope that was of benefit to you. Our brothers and sisters at UW are still ongoing with their encampment, and they do require some degree of support. Even if you can't spend the night or spend the day, it's beneficial for at some point in the evening, if you have time, to drop in. And just so show some solidarity with them. Show them some support. Because they are standing there demanding something from these institutions. And the success that this has shown across the globe so far, by the way, Yani, but within is actually amazing what students have been able to do. We have to help our students, that age group, believe that they can make a difference, because they can. Once they believe in themselves, a lot of what's happening today changes. A lot changes, by the way, in the world. And things will function differently once that age group believes in themselves, what they are capable of. Like, they discover what they can actually do. And that requires us to empower them, support them, and aid them, and strengthen their courage and their bravery as they stand there. With wisdom. They need consultation as well. They need people who are aqilin, people who have experience, to stand there and to offer them advice that will actually help them and serve them. But we need to do that as a community. And I think, yeah, that's the least we can do. Wallahu ta'ala alam. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنْ أَزْوَاجِهِ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان احقن دماء المسلمين في غزة والسودان وارحم اللهم موتاهم وتقبل اللهم شهداءهم في كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين لا تمكن لهم فيه يا رب العالمين اللهم ردنا أجمعين إليك شبابا وشيبا إلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا اللهم من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.